All right, we'll start out tonight in the book of Titus.
We've been looking at what the gospel is, but tonight I want to start looking at what it isn't. There's a lot that's being taught as the gospel that is certainly not the gospel at all. And perhaps if you talk to people about heaven and salvation, the most common answer you'll get if someone is willing to tell you why they think they'll be in heaven is just simply they're good enough. In other words, works. What does the Bible tell us about comparing ourselves with ourselves? And God tells us it's not wise to do that. What is our standard or our test that we're to compare ourselves with? It's with God or Jesus Christ. What verse do we go to for that instruction? You normally don't think of this verse that way, but it's a verse, if you deal with people about their soul, you've used it. Romans 3:23. For all have come short of the glory of God, not come short of the standard of the best man or of their neighbor. And so God tells us right there what the standard is of our comparison, because most people, when they look around at others, they compare themselves favorably. And so we need to be able to show them that. But this, I think, is very important to get. And I only have a few verses with each one of these points. I'm going to probably make reference to three different verses on works because it is so common. And every religion has this one common thread that it's a religion of works or a salvation of works, that they think that they'll be in heaven as long as they do enough good things. Doesn't matter what bad things they do, as long as their good things outweigh the bad things in number. And that's all they're concerned about. And they don't realize that works don't save anyone. And so Titus chapter 3, familiar verse, at least it should be familiar, but you need to know this verse in relationship to salvation, because that's the common denominator that most people think. If we logically were to think of salvation, what can I do for it? And that's the way the common man thinks. And so we've got to be able to take them to the Word of God and show them that it just isn't sufficient. In Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So God just lays it right out there for us. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. And so salvation doesn't come by any amount of good works. And there's a lot of people that do good works. Turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, first of all, notice that he's not talking about the Buddhists. He's not talking about the Muslim. He's not talking about the Hindu. He's talking about those that come under the umbrella of Christianity, because he's talking about those that call the Lord Jesus Christ their Lord. And so this would involve Roman Catholicism. This would involve Presbyterianism, Anglicanism, and all the denominations that use the name of Christ and yet have a salvation of works. But he goes on to say, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, they're lost. They'll wind up in hell. They'll suffer the flames for all eternity. And that's not what we want, and that's certainly not what God wants either. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now notice verse 22. Remember, we're talking about not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day. Now, what day is this he's talking about when he says that day? Judgment day. When they're standing before God, when their life on this earth is all said and done, everything that they could possibly do to enter into heaven has been accomplished, and there's nothing more they can do. We do not get a second chance after we leave this earth. A lot of people believe they do, and they're waiting for that second chance. When they see God, they'll believe in Him. That's true, they will, but it'll be too late for salvation. All right, so he goes on to say, again, verse 22, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And so there it is. They've served the Lord with their lives. They've probably sacrificed. They've probably lived a selfless life. They've put Jesus first. They were faithful in church attendance, in their tithes, in their offerings, and in doing whatever they can to serve the Lord. What does God say about them? We just have to read the next verse. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now they thought they did many wonderful works. They thought they were doing works of righteousness. But what does God say about their works? Yeah, we're going to go there in a little while. I use that verse all the time, Isaiah 64. But he says here that they worked iniquity. Now they were prophesying in the Lord's name. They were doing many wonderful works. They were casting out devils. And Jesus says that they've done iniquity. Now, how can that be iniquity to serve God? It's because they didn't have a relationship with God. They were doing all those things in order to achieve salvation. And God says that's sin. You cannot do any works, any amount of works, to achieve salvation. And so, again, most people believe works will get them to heaven. And the Bible is so clear, and you need to know these verses, not necessarily memorizing them, but be able to turn to these verses and show them scripture after scripture throughout the Bible that it is not of works. Since Isaiah 64 was mentioned, let's turn back there. Isaiah 64:6. God gives us his opinion of man and the best that man has to offer. And again, this is going to agree with the previous two verses, Titus 3:5 and Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And Isaiah 64:6, he says, but we are all. Now, who does that include? Everybody. I mean, you cannot define all as anything else but everybody that has ever lived or ever will live. Because we have a sin nature. And that makes us all fall into the category that this verse describes. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And so again, God isn't speaking out against the drunkard and the drug addict and the adulterer and all the other sins, the gambler. Man, I get sick and tired of hearing commercials for betting. And then at the end, they say, if you have a gambling problem, call for, and they give a number and for anonymous help. Okay. You're just admitting that you're trying to hook people. But nevertheless, God's not calling those people out, is he? God's calling out the religious. God's calling out the same group of people that we read about in Matthew chapter 7 that have done many wonderful works, that prophesied in his name and cast out devils in his name. He's calling them out and saying, if you're doing that to achieve salvation, if you're doing that and trusting in that to get you into my heaven, he says, here's what it is. It's iniquity. It's filthy rags that are so filthy that they won't even be put in a washer. They'll never be reused. They'll be nothing but thrown away. And that's what he's describing there in that verse. And so again, this is a verse you need to at least be able to turn to when dealing with someone about salvation. Because you can normally get someone to confess that they're a sinner. We all know our shortcomings. We all know our iniquities and our sins, at least some of them. I don't believe can ever comprehend every sin we've committed because we don't understand the holiness of God. And we talked about that here this past Sunday. But most people know they've sinned. But they believe that they're good enough that that sin won't count against them. And so you've got to show them that no amount of good works, even if they're 99.9% sinless, it's not going to get them to heaven. You need to be able to show them that and show them their sinfulness. And so these are some verses. Titus 3:5, Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, Isaiah 64:6, and probably the most familiar one in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Usually I just stay in verses 8 and 9, but really you can take the whole chapter and lay it out because God does. The first few verses, he tells us how we were in bondage to sin and we were a child of the devil and we had no liberty. We had no free will. We did what our Father commanded us to do, even though we thought we were doing our own thing. And it's surprising how many people don't want to get saved because they don't want God telling them what to do. And they don't realize that liberty only comes as a result of salvation. We are in bondage until we trust Christ because the devil is not one who allows us to have our own way. God does. He allows us to choose to obey or disobey. Now, he encourages us by revealing the chastisement that goes with disobedience, but nevertheless, he gives us that option. And now we have the liberty to serve God and to do works that are not iniquity in his name and to serve him and actually receive reward as a result. But as we come here to verse number 8, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now, what is grace? We need to understand what grace is. Cindy?
Unmerited favor.
Okay, unmerited favor. That's what I hear. That's a good definition. But I'm simple-minded. What in the world does unmerited favor mean? You got to put it in simpler language for me to grasp it. Rudy? Yeah, and I hear undeserving coming from over here. That's exactly it. Just simply, we don't deserve it. And the Bible makes it very clear. And we're not going to go to the book of Galatians. We'll save that under another point. Because another thing I hear frequently is I keep the Ten Commandments. You know when someone tells me that, you know what I'm thinking in my mind? I'm calling them a liar. No, you don't. You might think you do, but you don't. But we'll look at Galatians under that point, and so we're not going to go over there now, but God makes it very clear that if it's grace, or if we work for it, it's no more of grace. And so we need to be clear on what grace is and define that. As we lead people to Ephesians chapter 2, another verse we need to know to show them it is not of works. God is giving us something we don't deserve. And so again, if 99.9% of our life is sinless and lived very well, doing good things for other people, that 0.1% negates all the good works. We cannot deserve it. We're there only on the merits of Christ, on what he purchased for us. We're there on his reputation and not ours. So for by grace are ye saved. Now how do we get it? By keeping the sacraments? By observing communion or being baptized? No. We receive his grace through faith. What is faith? Faith is a very simple term to understand. It's just believing what God said. And so as the gospel is presented, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again according to the scriptures, just simply believing what God has told us about the plan of salvation and not making stuff up like so many do. And if we'll believe it through faith, by God's grace we're saved. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then, of course, verse number 9 makes it clear that it's not of any part of works. If verse 8 wasn't clear enough, he says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." How do you feel about a boaster? someone who brags all the time, they're usually not well received. Can you imagine going to heaven and standing before God and bragging about what a good person you were? How you served Him and how you gave so much to missions and how you witnessed so often. Can you imagine doing that in the presence of God? And it's a foolish thought, isn't it? Now, praise God for the people who do those things, but we do it by way of sacrifice to our Savior because He sacrificed everything for us. And we understand that doesn't make us any better than anyone else as a person. It simply makes us more obedient, or obedient, maybe not more, but God doesn't want a braggart in heaven. And so there's nothing we can do for it. And so often people will respond and say, well, God should let me into His heaven because my good works outweigh my bad works, or I'm a pretty good person. Evangelist Rod Black wrote a tract with that title, I'm a Pretty Good Person, and he nails that right on the head. But you need to have these verses written in the flyleaf of your cover or in your mind so that you can turn to them, so that if God gives you an opportunity to share the gospel, you have some verses on hand to show people, because this is what almost every lost person believes the way of salvation is, through good works. Well, I knew I wasn't going to get through our list today. I've got five of them on the list. By the time we finish the list, I may add another one or two. We'll see how it goes. But I knew with the long letters, we wouldn't get very far today. But this is an important one. I can't emphasize it enough. If you have shared the gospel with others who need it, you understand what I'm talking about, how important it is to know these verses and be able to show them God's word, because we don't want to make the foolish attempt to convince someone using our wisdom in our thoughts. This book is where the power is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by the logic of man. And so let's stick with the book. So know these verses, know where to find them, and use them. All right, well, let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Father, we're grateful for the privilege to be used by you. Father, we're all undeserving. We know that. But Father, what a privilege and an honor it is that you would choose to use us to share your good news of salvation through Christ. Help us to understand it more fully, to become more effective as we share with others. We'll thank you for it. Now bless us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.